Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Obnog Podcast, brought to you by KZNO. And I am your host, Drew Roberts, as usual, contributor at obnog.com. Come check us out. We've always got fun stuff up and about. We've also got my co-host, Jesse Baker, who is back with us after a brief hiatus. How you doing, Jesse?
Hey, I'm doing very well, Drew. Unfortunately, it wasn't much of a vacation. It's not like I was out having fun, but good to be back.
Well, we told everyone last week, I don't know if you listened to the podcast, we told everyone last week that you were nursing an injury that just, it didn't, the bye week wasn't enough for you to get back on your feet. Maybe a cheering injury from the BYU game. At any rate, we're glad to have you back.
Definitely. The larynx injury, it kind of was nagging a bit.
Yeah, the BYU game was the first game that I lost a little bit of my sideline decorum, and you know, maybe did a fist pump or two. I, as you can tell, am fighting a little bit of a cold, so I'm hoping that I can get through the podcast tonight without going into any severe coughing fits. As we've discussed before, does not make the most riveting or compelling podcast segment. But at any rate, what we like to do here generally is start off with a little Bronco Nation news. And Jesse, I think you're the guy to kind of get us started there.
Yeah, thanks, Drew. And this week we'll start out with a little bit of basketball news. You know, Wednesday was the beginning of the early signing period on most every sport besides football. And the Boise State men's basketball team signed two high school seniors to their letters of intent. And those two players were the guards Malik Harwell from Pocatello Century High School and Paris Austin out of Oakland. And they will join the Broncos in 2015-2016. Harwell, he's a 6'4 shooting guard. He led Century to a runner-up finish last year in Idaho State for a tournament, averaged 21.2 points, 4.5 rebounds per game, and has generally been listed as a three-star prospect across the board by the recruiting services, as well as Idaho's top-ranked player. Now, Austin, he's more of a true point guard, standing at 5'11", three-star recruit by most services, but ESPN did give him that four-star, and they also list him as the 12th best player in talent-rich California. So very good gets by Coach Rice, and a great way to lead into the basketball season.
Absolutely. So yeah, we're getting to that point of the year where Boise State is a little bit of a crossover. Basketball is underway. So far, Boise State has only been able to do a couple of exhibition games, kind of trot some of the new guys out and see what they're all about. But tomorrow, yes, tomorrow, or maybe I shouldn't say tomorrow based on when we're going to air this, but Boise State will be playing their first live action of the year, the LMU Classic, I believe is what it's called. I think that stands for Loyola Marymount. So Boise State will be down in Los Angeles on Friday. They will be starting things off against San Diego at 4:30 Mountain Time. So Friday will be the first chance for everyone to kind of get a real chance to see what the Broncos have going on this year on the hard court. And I'm pretty excited, Jesse. I know you're kind of more of our basketball guy, but you know, you think the Broncos have a real shot this year?
A real shot at what?
A shot at doing anything. I mean, the last couple of years, Boise State's been a solid program, you know, 20-plus wins, but really never been able to make too much of a dent within the Mountain West Conference or make any kind of run at the NCAA tournament. You think maybe this year that starts to change?
Yeah, I think this definitely is a year where just much more confidence will permeate the team, the fan base. I think this team can definitely maybe win a few games in the NCAA tournament if, you know, I believe they will get there. They have a great combination of experience. This core group has been around. You know, they're seniors now. They are uber talented, and they also have depth that they've never had before. So the combination of just that experience, skill set, and depth, I think really sets them up to make some waves in the Mountain West Conference. I think last year we saw the entire conference was down, and, you know, Boise State just didn't do enough in the non-conference slate to really be anywhere near consideration for an NCAA tournament bid. I doubt that's the case this year.
Yeah, I think consistency was something we were lacking last year. What else you got, man, for the news front?
Well, one observation, it's amazing how less you know of how to pronounce a school's name if they don't have football. So, yes, Loyola Marymount, good school out of the WCC. So maybe you just need to catch up on all those basketball-only schools like the Gonzagas of the world.
That's right.
Just some more stat recap of the year as we've been doing these podcasts. We try to keep you up to date the latest numbers for the team. And so, I'll just start out on some of the team statistics for the offense. They're up to 14th in the country at 312.7 yards per game in passing, 32nd at 208.4 yards per game in rushing. And overall, they're sitting about 8th nationally at 521 yards per game. And then scoring, they're up to 16th at 37.7 points per game. Now, especially after the New Mexico game, which we'll talk about in depth here in a little bit, the defense has taken a little bit of a beating. They're now 75th in passing D at giving up 233 yards per game. And then the rushing D has dropped all the way to 59th at 156.8 yards per game. And that's a massive drop after giving up a mind-boggling 505 yards to New Mexico last weekend. And then the total D, 60th at 390 yards per game. And then for scoring, they're all the way down at 87th, giving up 30 points per game. So it's pretty fortuitous for Boise State that Grant Hedrick has kind of had the hot streak that he has and that the offense has been putting up the points, because just by the numbers alone, the defense has been taken to the woodshed. Now, on the individual side, Grant Hedrick is 16th in passing yards, 2nd in completion percentage, and 12th in passer efficiency. And as I was looking this up, it was kind of curious. Number 11th on that list is a freshman at the University of Miami, Brad Kaya, for all of you recruiting buffs out there. And for Mr. Jay Ajayi, he's 3rd in all-purpose yards at 173.78 per game, 6th in rushing touchdowns at 14th. 14th in rushing yards, 6th in scoring. And then Darian Thompson is 4th in the nation with 5 interceptions.
Nice. So some of those numbers definitely trending in the right direction. Others not so much. It seems like Boise State's offenses have got real hot here in the last month. Defense kind of it's gone the other direction. But, I suppose that's fortuitous in and of itself, because Boise State's being able to outscore people at this point in time. I think the last thing to mention, and you kind of gave a nice segue for this, Hedrick, has been playing well of late. He did receive the Mountain West Player of the Week honors this week, along with Special Teams Player of the Week Dan Goodell. So Boise State doubly honored for their win over New Mexico. Funny, we didn't see any defenders make the list for that New Mexico game. I'm not sure why. Hedrick and Goodell, Mountain West Players of the Week in their respective categories. Hedrick had 498 yards altogether and 6 total touchdowns. 2 of those were rushing, 4 through the air, not a single turnover in that game. So an impressive performance from Hedrick. Kind of took the team on his back when Boise State was on the ropes a little bit to New Mexico. And then in the fourth quarter, Jay Ajayi was able to kind of turn things loose and chew up some clock, put a few more points on the board, and really seal the game for the Broncos. Hedrick was also named the Capital One Impact Performer of the Week, so that's a nice little national honor for Hedrick. And, especially since he was a guy that, about a month ago people were really down on, probably myself included, after the Air Force game. Looked like maybe he wasn't up to the task, and he's really rebounded since and done some good things. So happy to see Hedrick make that jump in playing time, and also, gaining the confidence of his peers. So with that said, Jesse, kind of a wacky game in Albuquerque last weekend, and we're hoping it's not nearly as wacky this weekend when Boise State takes on, I guess you could call them a rival at this point. They beat us 2 years in a row, San Diego State Aztecs. Maybe not as strong of a team as they've been in years past, but I suppose you could say the same about the Broncos. And so Boise State going to be doing the blackout. Could turn into a whiteout with all the snow falling And so I guess you never really know what you're going to get there. We hope that Boise State doesn't have too many surprises up their sleeve. But we'll come back and we will talk about the New Mexico game, the crazy New Mexico game, and we'll also look ahead to the San Diego State game. So we'll be right back. And we are back and ready to dive into this New Mexico game. The mighty Lobos of New Mexico took Boise State as far as any team could really take Boise State last weekend. It was an interesting game, to say the least. As Jesse mentioned before, Boise State gave up 505 yards rushing to the New Mexico Lobos, which some people are chalking up to the scheme. Others, just Boise State's poor tackling, poor angles. What was your thought on that, Jesse?
Yeah, I don't think it was poor tackling. I think many observationists have said there was nobody was getting a hand on the runner. It was very much, I think, a poor angle thing. But, you know, as I was sitting there watching the game, and this probably sounds weird, but it just seemed too fluky. They had scoring drives of one play, three plays on a kickoff, three plays, another one on a single play. You know, they weren't showing the long-term or the sustained success on drives that really got me worried. I knew that if they did adjust and they were began taking the right angles on these plays, they would be fine, because the offense, just as long as they weren't pressing, showed everything that they needed to win that game. And so I was just been very impressed by the level of composure that the Broncos showed. It was outstanding.
Yeah, and I got to say, you know, there was several times in that game when my mind was telling me to start panicking, and I really couldn't muster up the ability to panic in that game, because Boise State's offense was just executing at such a high level. You know, as the game wore on and more of these kind of quote-unquote fluky plays kept happening against the Lobos, I started thinking to myself, you know, we might want to get one or two stops here to kind of get this game under control. And Boise State was thankfully able to do that in the second half, specifically in the fourth quarter when it really mattered. Because of some field goals and some things like that, Boise State kind of piddled around a little in the second half, wasn't able to kind of hop on top of the Lobos as soon as we might have liked. But by the time the fourth quarter came around, it seemed like Boise State had kind of figured things out and got it together. The offense played well all game long. You know, I was telling somebody, if I would have just saw Boise State's box score at halftime of that game, I would have said, wow, 35 points, 420 yards of offense. Boise State must really be taking New Mexico to the woodshed. Of course, I think New Mexico at that point had 420 yards just rushing at the half, and they also had scored 42 points, which would actually be one of the highest point totals Boise State's given up all year. I think that only Nevada scored more than that in an entire game. What we gave up to the Lobos in one half, of course, Boise State only gave up 7 points in the second half, which is incredible. When you look at a final score of 60-49, you really think that that team is really kind of, you know, taking it to the other team for four quarters. But no, the Lobos were able to do that in just about two quarters of play. As we talked about before, second half turnaround for the Broncos, only gave up 81 rushing yards after the half, just 7 points. After the game, Marcel Yates, who you know, had every reason to be, you know, sweating and panicking in that game, you know, remained pretty calm, said that Boise State didn't really make any major adjustments after the half, didn't change schemes, anything like that. He did, however, make a couple player substitutions. And so what's your thought on that, Jesse? I mean, this is a guy who probably had one of the more embarrassing nights of his career in Marcel Yates. You know, do you think Boise State was good to make no adjustments at the half? Do you think it was a bit of gamesmanship on Yates' part? Do you think that they made more substitutions and stuff than they let on? What do you think, man?
Yeah, more than anything, I think there were some adjustments that took place, but more mentally rather than actually X's and O's out there on the field. I think they brought out the attitude that we can't, this is not going to continue to happen to us. We're going to plug the holes. We're going to take right angles. We're going to fill our assignment. And because this defense, as we've shown, as we've seen, is better than that. They're not a great defense by any means, but they are better than what they showed out there in that first half of that game. And I think, if anything, the two substitutions were Chancellor James and Joe Martirano being out there maybe opened some eyes to some players. And that might sound a little bit silly to say, but it just might be a reminder to the rest of the team that they are all accountable and they all need to step up and do the right thing. And I think that was more the adjustments that occurred more than anything.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's kind of a head scratcher too, given the fact that Boise State, after half, did end up replacing two players that both ended up being senior players. That's Blake Reno and Corey Bell, who really did not have good games at all. Corey Bell, if you watch the tape, you know, really found himself out of position quite a bit. Blake Reno, the middle linebacker for the Broncos, really was quite ineffective. And then you bring in two young players in Chancellor James and Joey Martirano, who, you know, for all intents and purposes, probably had every reason to be the guys that would be out of position and would be, you know, taking poor angles on things. And they came in and did what they needed to do. So, you know, maybe it was more of a wholesale attitude adjustment that happened at halftime. But, you know, it's a bit of a head scratcher that these two young players, somewhat inexperienced players, were able to come in and kind of get the things done that some of the senior leadership wasn't able to. Now, obviously not everything was a negative in that game, at least if you look at the offensive side of things. Boise State was able to put together some standout performances. Obviously, Grant Hedrick's the guy that we talked about before. What are some guys that really stood out to you, Jesse? And if you want to cross into the special teams or defense, go right ahead. I just found it hard to really call out any of the defenders for a you know, A-plus game.
Well, I will. I'll call out Kamalai. But on the defensive side of the ball, he did block that rolling punt. It kind of turns the tide a little bit. But Thomas Spurbeck, he just continues to show very well in replacing Matt Miller out there as the primary receiver for Grant Hedrick and the Broncos. He had 164 yards receiving. It just continues to get it done out there. Chaz Anderson had a nice long touchdown catch that ended up being the game winner, which is also good to see. And then Jay Ajayi found pay dirt twice, 161 yards rushing. You know, really good game from him. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I'll go with Darren Thompson. Led the team with 9 tackles. That's more like a participation award. So there you go.
Yeah, and you didn't actually mention Dan Goodell, who I mentioned before, did receive Mountain West Special Teams Player of the Week honors. And was 2 for 2 on the night. And more importantly, though, is Goodell is leading the country right now in touchbacks. And, you know, as we saw in the New Mexico game, things can be disastrous when you allow the ball carrier to bring that thing out. And Goodell has not been giving the guys very many chances to do that. So, you know, it's good to see Goodell, a senior for the Broncos, you know, really putting a solid year together. You know, you always hope it doesn't come down to the kicker's leg, but Goodell's been getting things done when he needs to and when he's called upon. So props to him for that. And also Ajayi, I mean, you can't say enough about the guy. 236 all-purpose yards in the game, 3 touchdowns. In the game, he actually passed Austin Pettis on the Boise State career touchdowns list and moved into 3rd place in the country in all-purpose yards, as you mentioned before. So now that we've mentioned kind of some of the top performers for the Broncos, especially on the offensive side of things, we'd be remiss without talking about Grant Hedrick and the streak that he's on. Really just has been a night and day different player for the Broncos since the Air Force debacle. You know, many people calling for his head, many people calling for Finley to be the starter after Air Force. You know, that was the 5th game of the year and also the 2nd game of the year where he'd thrown 4 interceptions. He just was looking rather ineffectual, looking wildly inconsistent, and I think he's been nothing but consistent since that game, you know, since his near benching after that game, and has led the team, you know, in a real solid way. Boise State has reeled off 4 straight wins, and Grant Hedrick is, you know, definitely part of that solution for the Broncos. Where do you think, Jesse, Grant Hedrick currently will go down in Boise State history?
Well, I don't know if we can say currently. I think the narrative won't truly be written until the end of this year. But, I mean, kind of forward-looking, if he continues this trajectory, which, as you said, it's just been an amazing turnaround since that Air Force game, people calling for his head, the benching. I was sure that Finley was going to be in there as a replacement. But, you know, as that trajectory, if it keeps going, I can almost see him being a top three quarterback for Boise State. Maybe not top three in terms of just the absolutely most skilled or most statistically outstanding performers for Boise State, but certainly the top three most memorable. So let's say they do. Boise State does end up running the table, ends up getting into a New Year's Bowl, and ends up with a win. You know, if he's throwing up some of the some great stats currently, and that would be an amazing cherry on top of that career that I think would really cement himself among the greats at Boise State. And it's an amazing thing to even say, considering where we were 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's, you know, Grant Hedrick obviously has a skill set that Boise State hasn't had in a long time, you know, possibly since, you know, Jared Sobranski. You know, we all know Jared Sobranski had a few issues himself, but was able to rebound and do some good things for the Broncos. But, you know, as far as being that, you know, dual threat quarterback, I don't know anyone that's done it better than Hedrick, you know, in the last decade for the Broncos. And, you know, it's worth noting he's the only player this season in the country that has had a 350-plus yard passing game and a 100-plus yard rushing game. So, you know, that's really saying something that Boise State has a type of player that's really kind of doing something that's unique in the nation this year. You know, we've seen it a lot of late with players like Cam Newton, Johnny Manziel, things like that, you know, maybe even your Colin Kaepernick type of players. But, you know, when those players can put it all together like that, they're hard to stop. And Grant Hedrick has definitely done that. He's been running the ball well. He's been making good decisions. And, you know, I'm pleased as punch for the guy. I'm glad that he's been able to rebound, absorb all the criticism that he was taking, and now he's kind of just basking in this this glow of this four-game win streak for the Broncos. So props to Grant Hedrick. Hopefully he'll be able to put a cap on his career and, you know, be remembered fondly in Bronco lore. And with that, I think the negatives from the New Mexico game are pretty obvious. I don't know if we need to lay those out anymore. So from there, we'll just move on to San Diego State, a key conference matchup. All the conference matchups from here on out are key for the Broncos. This just happens to be the next one up. So we'll come back. We'll talk about the San Diego State Aztecs and what they can do to stop this Bronco offensive juggernaut that's rolling right now. So we'll be right back. And we are back for the final segment of the Obnub podcast this week. A sick Drew Roberts, Jesse Baker up in Seattle. I'm not sure how this is going to work, Jesse. I'm scheduled to be on the sidelines on Saturday for the San Diego game. I think kickoff is at 8:15. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Have you never heard of Under Armour?
8:15. The game is purportedly going to be in the low 20s at kickoff, and I'm coming off about a 8 or 9 day cold here, so I'm not sure how things are going to work. I might have to be wheeled off in a stretcher at the end of the game. But you know what? I'm going to do that for the good of the team, for the good of the blog.
There's always the press box. You know, you don't have to torture yourself on the sideline.
Well, I think I would have to kick Kevin out of his cushy seat in the press box for that to happen. I'm going to be a trooper. I'm going to bundle up. I'm going to put on lots of layers for the Boise State blackout, and I'm going to hope for the best. So if you see anybody hacking up along on the sidelines, it might just well be me, and hopefully it's not Grant Hedrick or one of our other contributors. but with that said, San Diego State, this is a team that has kind of confounded the Broncos the last 2 years. Since Boise State has joined the Mountain West, Boise State is 1-2 against the Aztecs. A combined combined margin of defeat of 5 points. So these haven't really been beatdowns. Boise State was defeated on the blue 21-19 in 2012 in a game where Boise State gave up a kick return touchdown, which ultimately obviously ended up being the difference in that game. And last season, Boise State marched into San Diego, looked like they had the game in hand late, and gave up a punt return touchdown, ended up tying the game up. Boise State had a chance to win the game at the end of regulation, was unable to do so on a missed Dan Goodall kick. And so, the San Diego games have not been kind to the Broncos. Part of that is due to the 3-3-5 defensive scheme that Rocky Long employs. Some has just been, you know, some key breakdowns. Boise State having some special teams breakdowns at inopportune times. Not that there's ever an opportune time to have a special teams breakdown. But Boise State finally, you know, having a chance to come back home, have a revenge game. Boise State has already avenged two losses from last season. That's against BYU and Fresno, all in the last couple weeks. What do you think about this revenge game? And what do you think Boise State's chances are of going 3-for-3 on the avenging front this year, Jesse?
Well, this is a perfect setup of my favorite Klingon quote, or maybe it was Shakespeare, whoever, but revenge is a dish best served cold. And I'm glad that the weather down there in Boise is going to serve it up very, very cold for this game. I really like Boise State's chances. I was a little bit more nervous heading into this game before last week, just seeing the offensive efficiency from Boise State, but also seeing San Diego State have a battle on their hands with the University of Idaho Vandals. Really disappointing result for them, just a 14-point win, which on itself might seem good, but when the Vandals are 1-8, 1-7, 1-8, they it doesn't sit well on their palate. But I really like our odds, and I think we do go 3-for-3 in those revenge games.
Yeah, so San Diego State, you know, obviously brings some interesting things to the table. A season ago, they really kind of confounded Grant Hedrick. It was the first game I really saw him just look utterly confused. He didn't know where the pressure was coming from. You know, Rocky Long, you know, has a way of disguising those blitz packages and stuff like that. The 3-3-5 to the uninitiated, that's three down linemen, three linebackers, and then five defensive backs. So not anything too horribly different from what the Broncos employ generally with the 4-2-5. Boise State sometimes will give 3-3-5 looks. But one thing San Diego State is good at is, you know, disguising those coverages and really, you know, disguising where that pressure is going to be coming from. Now, last season, Grant Hedrick, kind of a freshly named starter, if you will, taking over for Southwick, really struggled in that game. He struggled against BYU, who kind of brought a similar defensive scheme. And but, you know, he passed his first test against BYU this year with flying colors. And so I think you have every right to be confident going into this game, Jesse, as you said. Hedrick seems to have figured some things out. Boise State is spreading the ball around. He's getting rid of the ball quicker, going through his progressions quicker. So San Diego State, I think the big thing that they bring to the table is that defense of theirs. But offensively, they're just not really getting things done. Quinn Kaler, who played last year and did quite well against the Broncos, has been having a bit of a tough year. They have a backup quarterback who saw some time, who just looked awful. So I think their best shot is if Kaler is healthy. And but of course, you know, I think our defensive backs have a good opportunity here to, you know, get some takeaways against Kaler. But they've also got some other players that, you know, we might want to be wary of. What are some top guys that you see, Jesse, that, you know, we need to watch out for in this one?
Yeah, to start, I'm going to say Donnell Pumphrey. And mostly, I just like saying his name, Pumphrey. But really, he's their top back, and he's built more like a scat back, standing at 5'9", 170 pounds. But he has been pretty effective in that offense this year, rushing for over 1,200 yards and 13 touchdowns, especially after the New Mexico game. It's important to note that he has broken off long runs of 93 yards and 71 yards. So he definitely has that home run capabilities that really was so dangerous against the Broncos, or dangerous for the Broncos against New Mexico.
Yeah, so Pumphrey's definitely a guy to look out for. Rocky Long called him the best back in the conference, which I suppose he's got a good claim to. He has outrushed Jay Ajayi by 70 yards on the year. Maybe not as complete of a back as Jay Ajayi, but certainly a guy that gets things done for them. You know, I think that I don't know if I would name another specific player that's dangerous, but I just talked about that scheme a little bit ago, that 3-3-5. That's definitely a key matchup to watch, how Boise State is able to do their blocking schemes in this game. The O-line for Broncos has been a little bit up and down, but I think that's something that they're really going to have to get dialed in. Last season, they were able to, I should say the Aztecs were able to have a lot of success getting into the backfield. And Boise State cannot afford to do that on Saturday night if they want to win this game. And I think that this game is ripe for the picking for the Broncos. Boise State needs to come out on fire. I think it's going to play right into our hands. It's a cold game. You got a team coming from a very temperate environment down there in San Diego, going to come into some 20-degree weather. And hopefully the raucous blackout crowd bring some of that noise and is able to disrupt some of the flow that San Diego State tends to get going. You know, at this point, it's worth mentioning, or worth asking, I suppose, you know, does Boise State have trouble with certain schemes, or do they just have trouble with certain teams? You know, we obviously saw the Broncos struggle a bit with New Mexico, but last time they were in Albuquerque, they gave up a 25-point lead, narrowly clung to a victory. The last two seasons have not been able to hold off the Aztecs. The Aztecs have not been a juggernaut any of those years. So, you know, what's the deal with Boise State and San Diego and some of these other teams? So what is it, man? Is it coaching? Is it scheme? Is it just that the Broncos have the past getting in their eyes and they're unable to get over these humps? What do you think it is, Jesse?
Well, I don't think it's any bad voodoo that's afflicting the Broncos. Meaning, you know, I don't think it's just because we play New Mexico and we have a bad game. I don't think it's anything supernatural there, but I think it really is a scheme. And just, I'm not sure we're built as a football team. I'm not sure we're built to manhandle those types of teams like we are used to in a more spread type offense. I think over time, Boise State has recruited and has adjusted to as the evolution of the college offense has gone on into more 3-4 wide receiver sets. And I think once you get down to these downhill running teams, these option teams, it really throws a wrench into the machine. So, yes, I think it's definitely more scheme than anything.
Yeah, it's been tough to watch the last couple of years. You know, it seemed like Boise State never lost these games, these type of games, I should say. And lately, it just seems like, you know, one or two of these teams sneak up. You know, they do something a little unorthodox, and the Broncos just are completely unprepared for it, or, you know, unable to make the proper adjustments. So let's hope that things change this weekend.
Yeah, I think, you know, an interesting dynamic with, you know, you think about Air Force this year, New Mexico, and San Diego State, is just the tempo involved with each of those three teams. I've always proclaimed that Boise State operates best when it is going fast-paced type of football. I know for myself and just in my life, I think I'm the best when I don't overthink things. And I kind of have a suspicion that once the tempo is slowed down, some of that overthinking starts to creep into the heads of the defenders and the heads of the offensive players that, you know, starts to afflict the Broncos and make them play well below what they're capable of.
Yeah, and whatever those reasons are, and they may be many, I don't think Boise State's going to need any extra motivation in this game on Saturday. I think Boise State knows exactly what's happened to them the last 2 years against San Diego. They want to change that trend. They know that they have to win out to get that conference title. The game's at home. I just don't see the Broncos, you know, slipping up. I don't see them having a repeat of last weekend, and I certainly think they're a different team at home. So we're no longer doing these score predictions. That ended up being a some bad juju for the Broncos. So what I'm going to just say is that I think Boise State does get off the schneid against San Diego State, the home of Marshall Faulk, and more importantly, of Carl Weathers. Yes, Apollo Creed once played for San Diego State. That's just a little fun fact for you. I think they get off the schneid, defeat the Aztecs, and go into the final two games of the season, the final two must-win games of the season, with everything in front of them. Jesse, are you agreeing with me on that front?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think they get it done. I don't think they'll be looking ahead whatsoever. I think the players on the team know how important this game is, each and every game is, but especially this one, really taking it to San Diego State. I think the gut punch that was the San Diego State game of 2 years ago, where, you know, kind of in a similar situation where the team and the fan and some of the pundits out there were predicting, like, oh, if Boise State takes care of the business, they will be positioned well for a high money bowl at the end of the year. I think that'll be fresh in their minds, and it won't escape.
Hey, I'm with you, man. And let's hope that everybody is thinking warm thoughts for the weekend. If anybody has an extra Gore-Tex coat that they want to lend me, or some mittens, that might be helpful as well. I'm not sure if my hands are going to be able to grip the camera by halftime. So let's just send good thoughts my way. And let's hope that the Broncos take care of business, as we know they can. I apologize to everyone for coughing my way through this podcast. And because of that, Jesse, I'm going to let you wrap things up with a big Go Broncos, because if I do it, I might just end up coughing my lung out. So go right ahead.
Yeah, big game this weekend, San Diego State. It's going to be cold, might be a little bit of snow. That does mean that there should be tickets available, a bunch of recruits in town. So if you're available and you want to see a great game, get down to the stadium and make sure to yell loudly, Go Broncos.
Go Broncos. All right, we'll see you next time.